Welcome, everyone, to the Screamcast, the podcast that celebrates everything Scream Factory. I'm your host, Sean Drager, and alongside me, the other host of the show, Brad Henderson. What's up, man?
Hi. I don't have a radio voice. I'll let you take over.
It's all good. But you know all the shit, so that's why you're valuable.
I'm just the brains. Well, actually, that's an insult. I'm sorry. You're the brains, too. It's
I don't know.
Or co-op.
It's funny because this idea for the show kind of sprung up over a weekend, and I just I woke up one day, and it was early in the morning. I got this idea. I was like, wouldn't it be cool to do a podcast kind of highlighting all the Scream Factory releases? Because out of anything that's come out in the past couple of years, I think it's the one kind of, I guess, brand that I've been all about and trying to snatch up everything that they put out. So I figured, you know, this would be a good idea. I kind of floated it on Twitter. And then, you know, by the end of the day, I had a logo, the website set up,
and a co-host.
So,
but you asked me as a guest, and then I was like, you know what? Nah, I'm just going to co-host this thing with you, Sean. I'm just going to do that instead. Well,
it seemed to work out. Like, it seemed that would be the best way for this to work out. So, yeah. So it just kind of happened organically. And
it's going to be, I hope, and I pray as well that will be a highlight of people's day when they, you know, see it pop up on their feed.
Let's just kind of introduce ourselves and kind of give our history with, you know, Shout Factory and Scream Factory. I'll go first, I guess. I don't know.
You go right ahead. So that way I know what to follow because I don't know what to say.
You'll follow it up much more eloquently, I'm sure. Well, my horror history, you know, as I said on kind of that little 5-minute intro, I didn't really start getting into horror movies till kind of later on in my kind of more into like high school and college, because I was raised in a very strict Christian family. So horror movies were always off limits. I remember the closest thing I saw to horror was probably like the first Terminator movie, but my parents made me shut it off after they saw Arnie's ass. And then
you saw his dong, not his dong.
You saw his dong something.
First. You see something flipping around.
Well, at any rate, we saw Arnie's bits and pieces, and my parents, and I don't know how old it was, right when it came out on VHS, and they went, okay, we're done, and I wasn't able to watch it till, of course, later on. And the first kind of really kind of hard R-rated thing that can be considered horror, but I kind of got a pass on it, was because it was sci-fi, was a Predator. So that was the first kind of scary movie that I actually remember watching, and it freaked me out. I think closely after that, I watched Gremlins in the theater. I'm getting my timelines mixed up, but it was around that time in the, you know, mid 80s. You know, I remember seeing Gremlins in the theater, and I made my parents, you know, take me to see that movie. And I was a little fraidy cat as a kid, and I remember being on the floor of the theater just crying my eyes out. And my parents made me sit through the whole movie since it was my idea.
That serves you right.
Yeah, I know, huh?
The only memory I really have of Terminator is, of course, watching it and being blown away. But my mom kept rewinding the Arnie bits and pieces part.
And that shows the differences in how we were raised.
Oh, yeah, completely. My mom's complete nut when it comes to this stuff.
So Predator, of course, freaked me out. And then as I got older, I remember I think it was early, it was either late junior high or high school, I saw Nightmare on Elm Street for the first time. And that had a huge effect on me. And then I started tracking down, you know, more horror, and I kind of got addicted to it. And I remember I was always, you know, based on like, you know, Predator and Aliens, I was always would go more towards the sci-fi horror. And I remember the movie Deep Star 6, I really loved. You know,
it's a great movie.
Around that age. So and I kind of slowly blossomed into horror and, you know, high school and college. So I don't really have a memory of seeing a lot of these horror flicks, you know, in the 80s, you know, when they first came out. I remember going to like the back of the home video section when I'd be renting videos with my dad, because we would rent probably, we'd be able to pick out two movies for the weekend. And I would always kind of end up at the horror section and just looking over all the box art. I remember seeing Evil Dead, the box art for that. I remember seeing like The Omen, The Unholy was the one that I remember, but I've never actually seen The Unholy, actually still. And, you know, Night of the Demons, and then Demons. I remember just looking at all those and just freaking myself out. and wasn't able to really catch up with those till later on. Finally, I think through college, I caught up on most of my horror movie watching. So I guess that's my brief history of horror.
Well, this is going to. Well, I mean, that's the great thing is you slowly dabbled into it when you were getting older,
right?
And some of this stuff is new, which I mean, a lot of it's new for a lot of people, even horror fans, which is great with Scream Factory because they're touching base with so many titles that. I mean, even hardcore horror fans that I know, they're like, hey, I've never seen that.
So, Brad, what's your history kind of with the horror genre? I imagine you were probably raised in a more liberal household than I was. So,
yeah, my parents were pretty easygoing. My dad wasn't really into movies too much. Yeah, I mean, he would watch them. He was mostly into Westerns. So I have like a action Western background as well with my father. Just watching anything that was on television. But my mother would actually seek out horror films, watching, Friday the 13th and, anything horror related. My mom would sit with me. We would watch it because I would kind of beg to watch it with her. And, she would put her hands over my eyes if, nudity came up or anything like that. But as far as like language and gore, it was, it was fair game. She really didn't care. And then if I really liked the film, she would hook up two VCRs and, edit the bad parts out, like nudity. So that way, when I was little, I just had this mass collection of VHS tapes with like two or three movies on it that I could watch at any time by myself without, adult supervision. With just the nudity cut out. It wasn't until later on, and probably I was still even young when I was allowed to watch nudity, but I never really had, there was no filter, no, barrier. I could watch whatever I wanted to. And my mom loves, and still to this day, loves horror films. And I don't think, I would probably still be into it, but not as much, and I guess knowledgeable, because I started so young and even collecting tapes. When I was around 8-9 years old, I started collecting, here or there, and just went on. It just took over. So yeah, it's pretty bad. So I blame my mother.
Oh, but you're a well-adjusted young man.
Yeah. I mean, the collection keeps growing and growing, and Scream Factory is getting me more and more in trouble because now they're re-releasing everything. It's really hard to get rid of the VHS tapes of those. I still hang on to them because I try to only collect VHS only at this point. But it's difficult to give away. I will never get rid of my, the Video Dead. Yeah. I'll never get rid of that VHS because I've had it for forever. I'm still kind of in shock that it's actually on Blu-ray myself. But
well, we'll be talking about the Video Dead a little bit later, as well as Terrorvision. I'm going to go ahead and we kind of touch on our kind of briefly on our history with Shout Factory and Scream Factory. I came to know kind of Shout Factory mainly because I was trying to get G.I. Joe and Transformers on DVD. So that's when I first kind of started keeping an eye on Shout Factory.
Yeah, no, I mean, Shout Factory's done a great job. I'm not really too much into what they've released in the past. I mean, I have picked up a couple things. Like, I like their, even though it's not many, their Shout Selects that are only available through their website. I was stoked that they released Power Rangers, but I just can't bring myself to ruin Power Rangers from what I had back in my head.
Yeah, no, they're all on Netflix anyway. My son got into Power Rangers quite a bit.
I mean, Shout Factory and Scream Factory are kind of equivalent. I mean, Scream Factory hits a little harder at home because, I mean, of course it's horror, but Shout Factory does a really, really good job. And then they're just all about nostalgia and bringing things back that, are kind of lost or, people want, but like no company is going to release. I mean, there's just so many that people are like, what? Like, seriously? Yeah. You guys actually sought this out, got the rights, and did an amazing transfer with commentary by the director that no one – he's only probably done one movie in his life, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just really cool to have, you know, people that care about his, you know, movies as much as me on the other end, you know, seeking this out and doing all this work in order to bring, you know, pleasure to my eyes.
How did Scream Factory get on your radar? Was it just through websites you were reading, or?
No, I usually just get on Amazon every once in a while, you know, probably once a month, and I just go to like new releases and horror, you know, mm-hmm. switch to Blu-ray, and I was scrolling through there, and it was before anything was, I mean, it was announced, but it didn't like have any cover art. I saw Halloween 3 on Blu-ray. And I, you know, if you click on it, you can see the distributor, and I saw Scream Factory, and immediately I was like, oh, okay, it's, you know, probably something with Shout. So I like look it up, and I see they announced Halloween 2, 3, and Funhouse and Terror Train. And I was like, oh, you know, that's awesome. You know, even though Halloween 2 is on Blu-ray already, I mean, the whole focus was Halloween 3, because I was like, man, that's awesome. Because, I mean, obviously it's just on DVD. And, you know, I'm going to have it on Blu-ray. That'd be nice to look on the shelf. So I just thought it was just another company just releasing, you know, just horror films. And I was like, okay, that's cool. You know, there's plenty like that. But we're going to go back to the Video Dead. You know, the next little wave, they announced Terrorvision and Video Dead. And I'm like, holy crap. I was like, these guys aren't just going to be releasing, you know, kind of well-known horror titles. They're gonna like, and then you saw the special features, and like the special features on Video Dead, which I would think right off the bat it would be kind of a bare bones release,
yeah,
it's just stacked with special features, and I'm like, wow, these guys are really, really gonna, you know, knock it out of the park. And every announcement that they basically make, it's like, really, you guys actually, you know, looked that up, you know, seeked it out, and now you're releasing it on Blu-ray. And it's just, it still hasn't really settled with me, because I'm blown away every time they really announce something crazy.
It's pretty incredible. And actually today I just tracked down Saturn 3, you know, and the fact that I remember seeing that on the VHS shelf. It's another one that I have never seen as far as like a sci-fi release. So, I grabbed that today, and, I'm really pumped to finally watch that sucker in HD. And that's the thing with me, like a lot of these movies I didn't see back in the 80s, so I'm seeing for the first time, you know, in HD. And for me as a horror fan and a fan of, you know, kind of stuff that's under the radar, has been under the radar, it's kind of a treat for me to be discovering these for the first time, you know, in such great quality, you know.
And I think really that's one of Scream Factory's goals, is to you know, bring these films that are kind of, you know, buried in a mm-hmm. way. Because I mean, there's plenty that they've released that have only seen VHS, you know, that they've skipped DVD. I mean, of course some of them have the combo pack with DVD, but prior to that, no DVD release, VHS only, and it's scarce.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's nice to see that, you know, their goal, of course, is to bring as many and also turn on new horror fans. Cause I mean, there's plenty of young kids out there that are going to discover these and lose themselves in horror, like I did when I was younger.
Yeah. I have a plan on some of these as my kids get older, especially my son, to kind of just accidentally, in quotes, leave out for him to discover. So, a little trail for him to follow in horror. Although we tried watching Ghostbusters today, and as soon as Dana is sitting in that chair and all the arms come out of the chair and drag her and pull her into the closet, he like he jumped up and just bolted out of the room and never came back.
Well, yeah, so I remember when I was younger, even when they were in the library and the ghost screamed for a second, I would get a little antsy. But I mean, I was so desensitized when I was younger through this stuff, watching Child's Play was, I think, one of the only things that pretty much terrified me, and still remains one of my favorite horror films of all time. But nothing really scared me after that, because I was like, you know, something with dolls kind of always kind of freaked me out.
I think that's Dolls and Clowns, I think, are they those do that to me even now. So, and anything like ghost, you know, haunted house for some reason, and demons always gets me. I don't know, whatever.
So you just pretty much named everything, Sean.
Pretty much everything. Pretty much everything. I'm just pretty much a big wuss. Pretty much. You write for a website. You've had kind of, you know, communication back and forth with the guys over at Scream Factory. And, you know, the other day when we were talking on the phone, you kind of brought up their kind of how they work, like their acquisition model, their, you know, their goals, you know, as an entity.
Yeah.
So to the uninitiated, if you can just kind of shed a little light on, you know, their, like how they operate, I guess.
Yeah. It was just something that I wanted to bring up, of course, when starting this podcast is, you know, our first was, you know, introduce ourselves and talk about the history of Scream Factory. You know, of course, we don't work for Scream Factory. We're just, you know, fans that, you know, created this podcast. But I see a lot of, you know, through Twitter and Facebook, there's a lot of complaints with pricing and, you know, just things like that. And I don't think people are really aware of what goes into actually releasing a film, because it seems like, you know, they talk about the price, and yeah, the prices are high on certain releases, but there's a reason behind that. And, you know, if you, for example, you know, The Fog is, you know, comes out like $20-$25 and some cents. And then you have like Dark Angel, you know, I Come in Peace, that's like $12. Well, I just the thing is that The Fog would cost obviously more for them to, you know, license out. And you got to think of the artwork that they put into the cover, you know, of course, just manufacturing and, you know, producing. I mean, and all these special features that they do, they're just not picking up, you know, the archives from MGM and pulling over commentaries and the behind the scenes footage. They're producing their own footage, their interviews as well. They're finding these people, scheduling interviews, you know, flying them out or flying out there. And it's just a lot goes into certain mm-hmm. releases. And that's the whole price difference. And of course, you know, at the same time, and I know I read something, and I think it was on another podcast with Criterion, is that, you know, sometimes Criterion will seek out film. And, you know, I think Scream Factory and Criterion are mm-hmm. equivalent in my eyes. But, you know, when they purchase, when they go for a film, I won't say purchase, but when they go out to license a film, sometimes the company will say, well, if you grab this one, can you do these two? And sometimes they'll get a deal with a pack. And I'm sure that's what happens with Scream Factory as well, because they obviously work very close with MGM. And, you know, because I mean, that's, I think half of their releases are MGM. But if you also see the price difference, you know, so many things could factor in. And like I said, I'm not 100% sure. But obviously some films are going to be cheaper than others. And that, they're not trying to steal your money. If they could, you know, release every film for $10, I'm sure that they would. But if you keep wanting, you know, every couple, you know, weeks have, like, you know, now they're releasing Slumber Party Massacre and, you know, of course, Darkman. If you want those releases to keep on, then you need to, you know, suck it up, fork over the dough, and trust me, you're going to get top quality. And they're not giving away, you know, a shitty product at all. Because, I mean, I remember when DVDs came out a couple years later, you would just have these wave of, like, VHS, like, transfers on discs. They're not doing that. I mean, obvious, if you watched any Scream Factory release, it's always top notch. And plus, obviously, it's, I mean, you don't have anything really to compare it to, but I'll, you know, if you know anything about Blu-ray, you own a Blu-ray player, you can obviously see some of the best work that I've seen in Blu-ray releases of any old film or new film. It's just, it's incredible. And it gets really redundant saying that, but it really is. Every time something comes out, I watch it, I'm say the same thing. It's like, man, Scream Factory outdid themselves.
Just like, you know, we kind of compare them to Criterion. And I think that's for a horror, you know, for the horror genre, of course, like, I think that's a very fair comparison, because I feel like they care about the product that they're putting out, like every single one. it's going to look nice on your shelf. They it seems like they handpick a few to do the collector's editions with the slipcover, and then the reversible with the new key art, and then of course the original poster art on the inside, which I always flip to the original, you know, poster art on these.
Yes, as soon as I open mine, it's immediately what I do. I mean, I love the fact that they are doing their own cover art. Yeah. I think it looks great. But I always flip it. Aside from body bags, they didn't do with body bags, and I was a little upset. But it's fine. Carpenter's face is on there the front, so I'm good.
I know that they're really busy this year. I feel like they doubled their production this year with the amount of titles they're putting out. So those guys are just they're all over the place. And I want to hopefully this year we have a time to sit down and talk to someone from Scream Factory about a little more, you know, what they do in their business model. So we will keep you guys informed when that happens. And that's a goal for mine this year.
Oh yeah, we have we're not going to announce any interviews, of course, but we can promise you that the interviews that we are trying to set up and people that have agreed to it, it's going to be a lot of fun because, I mean, we're not just going to, you know, interview bloggers, I guess you could say, or our friends. We're going to get, you know, we're trying to get a lot of, you know, I still consider them stars. People will say you would be stars, but that's not the case because these people are still stars in my eyes. Yeah. They might have been in two movies growing up and then never acted again. But trust me, they're just equivalent as, I would hate to say Tom Cruise. I really don't care for Tom Cruise, but you get my drift.
Tom Cruise's teeth will knock it down a little bit. Right,
Tom Cruise's teeth. I don't know what that means, Sean, but okay.
They take part of Tom Cruise. I don't know. Sometimes I just say stuff and it just, you know, just roll with it. I don't know.
Maybe we can cut that out.
Screw you. I'm leaving it in just to spite you.
No, we can have just a segment on Tom Cruise's teeth. If you'd like.
No. So what we want to do for the show, of course, we definitely want to have a lot of interviews with directors and stars. You know, we'll probably have some guest bloggers on as kind of co-hosts, you know, reviews sense.
Yeah, yeah, we definitely have a couple lined up like that, and it'll be a lot of fun. Just their history, in horror. I don't want to give anything away. No. I don't want to announce anything in case something falls through. Yeah. But trust me, it's gonna be a blast.
Well, I'm pretty excited, and you know, like I said, like with Brad coming on, I think Brad has a drive to get all these people rounded up. So I appreciate that. So yeah, I'm pretty excited for what's gonna come ahead.
I'm working my ass off, Sean. You, just to let you know.
You are,
and I'm not getting paid
for nothing. For the love of it,
I'm not getting paid
for the love of it.
It's for the and it's exactly what it is. Yeah. Like I said, we're not affiliated with Scream Factory, so we're not getting paid for this. We're doing this all ourselves. And, you know, just lovers for film and Scream Factory in general.
So my goal is to try to hit every single Blu-ray release that they've released. So we'll be going through the back catalog. And then, so that's the goal, just to try to have a show that features everything that they've released, what we think about it, you know, and it's pretty much the model for the show, and with interviews and guests. So,
yeah. And we also want to focus on a lot of, because I know Scream Factory takes the time on certain releases, and I know that they don't do incredibly well. Mm-hmm. You know, because obviously stuff like The Fog and The Burning is just gonna, you know, they're gonna burn right through them. And then you have like movies like Eve of Destruction that I personally I love it. I think it's goofy fun, but obviously that movie's not going to sell, and that's one of the examples of maybe Scream Factory didn't seek that one out personally. Mm-hmm. If they did, it's amazing, and I'm glad they did. Other than that, I mean, it could have came in one of those packs, you know, that they do that quite frequently in distribution. But still, there's Eve of Destruction on Blu-ray, if you guys don't know that. Eve of Destruction is on Blu-ray, along with Ninja 3.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really like to focus on some of those, because, I mean, you know, if you're tuning in, and we're not going to talk about The Burning for an hour, because that's insane. Because if you're listening to this podcast, you obviously know horror films already. And if you don't know The Burning, I highly suggest you seek it out. But, you know, it's just one of those things Sean and I agreed that we didn't want to put too much focus on some of the bigger ones, you know, a lot of the smaller ones that didn't probably sell all that well, and a lot that maybe people don't know, you know, because obviously these things really aren't in too many stores. So mainly it's just online. That's how I get all mine.
That's how I get all mine. I wish that wasn't the case, because there's certain days where I just want to go browse and check something out. But
yeah, I mean, it's hard unless, I mean, imagine, you know, it depends on totally where you live. I live in Florida, and finding a horror film is, you can't even find a horror film at Walmart or Best Buy. So,
wow,
it kind of sucks.
I forgot to mention at the beginning of the show, I'm going to try to be having a musical break every show. Also, I get quite a bit of pre-release downloads and stuff from a few music PR people that have been sending me stuff since college, since I did college radio. So I have a contact with a dude who's been sending me a lot of metal stuff. So if you're a fan of metal and punk, I'll be featuring a lot of that as we transition the show. So our first musical guest for the Screamcast podcast is a band called Eskimo Callboy. They're from Germany, and I would have rather maybe Eskimo Call Girl sounds a little bit, you know, I'm not sure. I don't know what they're trying to go for. But
it depends on what you like, Sean.
I guess.
Don't judge.
So they're a German band, and they describe themselves as danceable porn metal with a pinch of psychedelic glam rock. This is their title track off of their album that just released in January. The song is called We Are the Mess. You're listening to The Screamcast. Eskimo Callboy with the song We Are the Mess. It's off of their album that released in January called We Are the Mess. You can find them online at EskimoCallboy.com.
Or call girl.
Or call girl. I would prefer to call them Eskimo call girl. That makes more sense for me, but
I don't know if that's going to help them at all, though.
So, yeah, hope you guys enjoyed that. So it was one of those bands when I was going through what I was going to play for the show that they were so weird with that dubstep stuff that they throw in there that I had to at least get them featured somewhere, and we'll move on. So, all right, let's talk about a couple movies. We're this week we are talking about the Scream Factory double feature Terrorvision and The Video Dead.
Which I think is a great double feature, being that they both have to deal with televisions, basically.
Totally. I love it. I think they totally work, yep, as a double feature. So let's jump in and start off by talking about Terrorvision.
Hey, little dude. You into metal? Kiss the boot, man.
Kiss the ass, bozo. Mom, can we use the jacuzzi tonight?
Not tonight, baby. Your father and I might be swinging.
So tell me, Raquel, is Stanley a manly man?
Oh, God, yes. A real stallion.
No, what I mean is, does Stanley take it like a man?
Hey, you guys remember that movie? You know, the one about the little space guy. Made you cry like a butthole.
Kind of like that Japanese thing, you know. Whatchamacallit. You know, where the Martians steal all the Earth women and knock them up. You know, to repopulate Mars.
Oh, that sounds kinky. Is that hardcore?
Fantastic idea for a movie. Martians diddling the women of the universe.
Yeah. You get it, Spiro. Intergalactic swingers.
Did you see that? He looked right at my studs and cooled out. This dude's into metal!
Terrorvision.
Yes.
The film itself. Terrorvision.
How would you describe Terrorvision to someone who possibly hasn't seen it yet?
Terrorvision is, I always kind of thought as Terrorvision is kind of like, cause I did a little thing for myself. It wasn't for anybody. It was like a heavy metal horror. And I know that you followed me on Twitter when I did it, you know, a couple years ago in October, and Terrorvision was one of the films. It's not, you know, heavy metal by any means. I mean, they just have a lot of music. Terrorvision is just an odd thing. It really is. It's hard to describe because it's a monster comedy kind of, and I don't know, man. It's just a hard. It really is. It's a hard film to describe. It's just a lot. It's a ton of fun, is what it is, and it's got performances by, of course, like Diane Franklin, which is just such a doll face. You'll remember her for, like, you know, Last American Virgin and stuff like that. And was it Better Off Dead? Yeah, Better Off Dead.
Yes.
Was the other film she was. So you'll recognize her. Of course, Mary Warnoff is in it, which is one of those horror film actresses that just nails it every time.
She's great.
But yeah, it's just, you know, aliens, monsters, and just a weird family encounter. Yeah. So all that, because I mean, by far the family is the highlight, which are the Puttermans. Yeah, the Puttermans. That they just stand. I think it's Stanley, which is played by I can't think of his name at the night. I think it's Gary Graham. He's over the top anyway. But just the interaction with the family alone, aside from the aliens and monsters, it's just, it's so odd and weird and psychedelic. It's definitely, once you watch it, you'll understand what I'm talking about. It's kind of hard to put a category of Terrorvision, but you won't be disappointed.
Yeah. Well, when I first saw it, I remember it was on Netflix, and I was like, well, I'm gonna give this a try. I kind of heard about it, and my first viewing, I don't know if it was just too late, or I don't know if I was expecting an actual horror movie, but at the time, it wasn't what I was expecting it to be, so I kind of dismissed it. And it's like, oh, that was kind of dumb. But this second time watching it, I feel like I got the joke. I don't know if when I first saw it, I was just too tired or something. But yes, basically, some space alien escapes some prison planet somehow through the television signal or a signal into the family's gigantic radar dish. That I think the only person I ever knew that had a dish like that was my grandpa, and infects their TV set and basically wants to eat everyone. And of course the parents happen to be swingers as well.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, to give the plot of the movie, it just doesn't seem real, but yeah. It's a real movie. It does exist.
So I'm like, who is this movie for? You know, and also we didn't mention John Grise. He played the uncle in Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah,
he plays OD.
He's been a long time horror film actor. I mean, yeah. A long time actor to begin with, but I mean, people really didn't notice him until. Till he actually was in Napoleon Dynamite as the uncle, yeah. Which I thought was ridiculous because he was always, you know, the Wolfman in Monster Squad for me.
Oh my gosh, but, how did I miss that?
Yeah, I know, a lot of people do, but I mean, because he's only in human form for right. A little bit. I mean, mostly he's just the Wolfman. But, you know, yeah, he's in it. Of course, like I said, Diane Franklin. It's just a blast. I mean, it really is. It's one of those things where you just have to see it.
You know, as I was watching it this time, I wrote some notes down. I'm going to try to decipher some of them right now. Oh, the creature. I want to talk about the creature. It's like this weird, ugly, yet somewhat cute type thing. Did you like their design of the creature? I mean, anything practical I love.
I mean, there's plenty of monsters and just really nasty stuff in this movie, along with the monsters and the... I mean, just the aliens in general. It's just, I feel dirty after I watch it because it has this weird, like, kind of like pastel look, yeah. I guess you could say. It's yeah. just, it's one of those where you go to, like, your aunt's house and she, like, sells Avon or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, that's what it feels like. When you're there in the house, you don't want to be there.
Yeah. It's weird because there's hardly any swearing in the movie. There's no nudity in the movie, and actually in the commentary, the director is kicking himself for the swinger girl that they have over. He's kicking himself for not having her topless in that scene where she takes off her dress and she's wearing a bikini.
It's funny.
And I guess she had been in like softcore, like Skinamax and stuff like that. And he's like, why the hell didn't I take advantage of that? But, what other notes do I have here? The most cumbersome control ever for the TV. I thought that was kind of funny. There's an ET reference. That's pretty hilarious in the movie.
You must have missed that. I don't remember that.
That's great. And then Medusa and her pillows. That's one of the notes I have on here.
Oh, yeah, the Medusa. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's...
So she plays like the Elvira type.
Yeah, know. She's got her boobs really perked up. I remember that now.
Gosh.
Now, see, you mentioned something like that. Now it's all coming back to me, Sean.
Yeah, now
Thank
I
you.
Know. Now I know your. Now I know your the triggers.
Yeah, just mentioned that's how I remember movies. Yep.
So, and it's funny because in the commentary also, and I just watched the commentary the other day, they also noticed, and they're just like, oh my God. And someone said like, yeah, those were real. That's back in the 80s when they were real. And I don't know. I'm not an expert on whether they're real or not, but, those things took up half the screen.
That's not a bad thing.
So overall, I think Terror Vision as a movie is definitely a recommendation. It's horror comedy. So it's one of those things. If you're expecting kind of a straight-up monster movie, you're not going to get it. But there's so much weirdness in this movie that if you're someone who – I mean, I like a lot of the weird 80s movies anyway. And, you know, I think there's a lot to enjoy in Terror Vision.
Yeah, no, I mean, I like I said, I like it myself. I didn't see it till later on in my teens. It was just recommended by – I even forget who it was now. They just – it was just one of those I used to go to a video store in Ohio called Video Time, and they would know me there during the summer because I would be in there like every 2 days because my parents would gamble a lot. So I'd hang out with my grandmother, and we would she'd let me rent like, you know, 4 or 5 tapes, and I'd watch them all that night. It was ridiculous. And the one guy, I had a few titles. I wish I could remember the titles, but he said, "Have you ever seen Terror Vision?" And I said, "No," and I watched it then. And I can't say I was a huge fan of it. It was just a fun monster movie, and mm-hmm. it kind of grew on me after each viewing. I've seen it a few times now.
Yeah.
It's just an all around fun little goofy weird flick. It really is.
And also one thing I wanted to mention about the movie, one of the swinger guys, Spyro, played by Alejandro Rey, I guess he died a year later of cancer. So I was wondering, I was trying to look him up, like, where'd this guy go? And unfortunately, he passed away like only a year later.
Yeah, thanks for bringing me down now, Sean.
I know, man. Sorry, but
gosh, this is the part of the show where it gets sad.
Well, yeah, it gets sad, and when I looked up some history about our next movie too.
Oh yeah, because in the video Dead, the girl that plays the seducing type, yeah. She died shortly after it, right?
She died shortly before they were recording the commentary. So she. It was recently.
Oh, it was recently. Yeah, okay. But, I thought it was kind of after.
Yeah, but back to Alejandro Rey. He was known for the Flying Nun. I guess he acted, or did he act? No, he was known for the Flying Nun.
Was that a TV show?
It was a movie back in 1967, and I guess Diane Franklin.
Yeah, Franklin.
She actually was very fond of the Flying Nun. So when she was watching, when she saw him, you know, Alejandro. He and the kind of character he was playing, she's like, it kind of ruined the Flying Nun for me.
That's funny. Yeah, because he's one of the swinger. He's the like the husband.
Yeah,
yeah. That whole sequence they're in their like pool area. Man, that's just it feels so weird while watching it. It really does. It's just so uncomfortable at times.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's totally what they were going for with that movie.
Yeah. Yes, it's a movie that totally grows on you because, like I said, the first time I saw it, I was like, "Oh, that's kind of dumb." And then this last time, for some reason, it hit a nerve, and I really loved this this last viewing that I just did over the weekend here. So, well, let's move on to the Video Dead. What do you think about that?
Why don't you calm down? He can't have gone far.
You don't understand. He likes to chase skunks in the woods, and when he finds them, he tries to mate with them. Only skunks don't like to mate with poodles, so they spray him, and then he really gets turned on.
Ah! What the hell is wrong with you, boy?
Jesus Christ. Don't you ever sneak up on me like that again.
I didn't sneak up on you, boy.
You sneak up on me like that again, you know what's going to happen to you?
No, boy. You tell me.
Death and destruction.
I start my first semester at the university the first of next month.
You got in. Great. What's your major?
Aerobics.
Hey, I've got it.
You do?
The dog swallowed a ball. You were walking the dog on the leash, and some total jerk threw the ball to the dog, and he accidentally swallowed it. All we have to do is push the ball down the dog's throat. They'll never know the difference.
They find us before we're ready for them. You won't be alive for that girlfriend.
She's not my girlfriend. She's just a friend, that's all.
You seem pretty concerned for just a friend.
Oh, forget it. I have to take a leak anyway.
Listen, sister. The slaughter's begun already. You look the other way, you might just end up getting a nice size bite taken out of your rear end.
I am a huge, huge fan of the Video of Dead. I actually have right in front of me, I don't know if you can hear this, but this sound. That's a cassette going back in its sleeve. I still have my Video Dead VHS from when I was younger.
Awesome.
And it's been through hell and back, but I won't get rid of it. Video Dead, I discovered that when I was, of course, younger, because I think every I wouldn't say hardcore horror fan, but every like big horror fan went through a zombie phase at some point, you know, where they discovered a zombie movie, and then it's like, hey, let's discover all zombie movies. And you know, there's quite a few good zombie movies out there in the 80s. The Video Dead is not one of them. No, the Video Dead's great. It's very B movie. If you want to hit the B movie section, the Video Dead is definitely one of those movies. Just ultra weird, and I mean, basically, zombies come out of a TV, and attack the people in the house. And that's pretty much the extent of the plot of The Video Dead. But it's just one of those zombie flicks that always stuck with me. And it's just so much fun. Because that's what I'm saying, is this double feature is just so great, because both films are just really out there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you definitely want to just space yourself out and watch, you know, some mindless horror, that's, I can't even tell you how much fun these movies are. But I'll try. The Video Dead is just, the music is so, like, it's like an homage to Night of the Living Dead too. As soon as it starts.
Yeah.
You know, when the guy puts on the, when the television starts playing, it's playing, what's the name of the movie? Zombie Blood Nightmare or something that.
Yep.
And just the zombies coming out of the television, just it looks so good too. You know, the TV's laying up, you know, on its upside down.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And that head pops out. And I remember watching that when I was little. I was like, holy shit, this movie's going to be fucking crazy. It's going to be family. You know, it reminded me a lot of, like, it just had that feel of Return of the Living Dead Part 2. Because I think I saw it after that. Mm. And during my zombie career. And of course, that's not what happens. But it's just a very, like, psychedelic, using TVs to, you know, seduce and these zombies to come out of the television and kill everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, what's not to like about that?
I don't know.
If someone really said, hey, there's this movie where these zombies come out of television and kill people, I would be totally down.
Some of my favorite stuff in The Video Dead is kind of, and the one thing I noticed too is these zombies, they'll kill you, but you won't turn into a zombie. So it's kind of a one-sided deal. They're just these vicious murdering undead. And I love how my favorite scenes in the movie are the suburban zombies, when they kind of go into each house and it's kind of each these suburban scenes filled with zombies. It's fantastic. Yeah. Because they kind of have this the sensory skill still, where they're kind of trying to, like, one's trying to eat Cheerios or something like that. And, you know, and every time the woman zombie kills somebody, she'll take their clothes. You know, stuff like that I thought was pretty inspired.
Well, it's just another thing is the makeup on these zombies is that some of it looks outstanding. And then the other just look like they have, like, chicken skin hanging off their face. And it's just a lot of fun. And, you know, I'll never forget flipping it over, and I think they actually have a Blu-ray in front of me too. Yeah, they do. The kid's face that's screaming on the front looks a lot like Return of the Living Dead 2.
Oh,
the next door neighbor that gets attacked and then tries to attack the other boy. I can't remember his name. It's like Randy or something like that. I don't know. But it looks so similar, and it just that's what made me want to watch this. Is I remember in the store, and I actually have the tape that I rented from the store because they went out of business shortly after that, and I actually purchased the tape from a store, the local mom and pop place that was going out of business, and it's stuck with me ever since.
Very cool.
Now, did we touch base that this is this Blu-ray the uncut version? Because I don't remember seeing anything different. Because I know the VHS actually says it's uncut.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I imagine it is. I don't.
Yeah, I would think it's whatever was on the VHS, and the director seemed very happy with it in the commentary. And
yeah, that's another thing that I thought was amazing was all the special features that they did for this release of The Video Dead. It's just packed. Yeah. It really is. And like I said before, it just seems like a movie that would be a bare bones release because it's The Video Dead. But yeah, they stacked it on this one. I mean, it's not like a ton of stuff, but I mean, just the audio commentary alone with everybody that pretty much worked on the movie, aside from probably the zombies, you know, it's just awesome that Scream Factory could put together something like that.
One thing I found interesting on the commentary, there's two of them. It's one with the director, Robert Scott, editor, Bob Sarles, and then special makeup effects creator, Dale Hall. It's moderated by Chris McGibbon, and I guess he has a podcast as well, or a radio show or something like that. He's a huge fan of The Video Dead as well, so he kind of moderates the conversation. So that first commentary is a bit kind of dry. He's trying to get these guys to come out of their shells, you know, seems like they're not really used to doing commentaries, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's a little wonky in the beginning.
But the information they end up starting to give, it's really interesting. But once you dive into the commentary with the stars, Roxana, Augustin, and then the Rocky Duvall who played the kid, I'm sorry, but he's not a, there's a reason why 16-year-olds don't play 16-year-olds, okay? They're in that weird, awkward stage.
Yeah, I one thing that always cracked me up was the beginning of the film when they introduced the boy. Yeah. And he's all like filthy and he's walking with that limp. Like, yeah. We're supposed to believe that? Like, this little kid is walking with this limp and everything, acting like and we're supposed to think it's a zombie right off the bat. It's just, it was just one of those things that just makes me laugh every time. And it really is. It's a goofy movie, but it's so much fun. It really is.
If you notice, he's carrying a suitcase. That's why he's limping. But I have no idea why he's so filthy, because he wears that shirt almost through the whole movie. And I feel like there's a scene where he gets the shirt all bloody but the next day he's wearing that same shirt again. I don't know if I forgot to look and see if he's, you know, if that shirt makes it through everything, but he's consistently filthy through the whole movie.
Well, that's another thing is that, if I remember correctly, they filmed this movie over a long period of time.
Yeah.
From what the commentary said. Yeah. So maybe he never washed those clothes due to continuity.
Maybe not, but, man, I was like, dude, get throw those clothes in the washer. And there's one scene I noticed too. This is just totally random. I always notice like continuity things. He wakes up in bed because the doorbell rings. He's wearing a shirt. He comes downstairs to open the door and he's not wearing a shirt. So I was like, why would you take off your shirt to answer the door?
I do that.
Do you do that? Okay.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's just that's not a common thing.
I'm
the weirdo.
Well, no, maybe I'm the weirdo. So maybe, you know, maybe everyone's onto something here.
You should definitely try it. People react differently when you answer the door without a shirt.
Yeah. Well, I was looking through my notes here that I took while I was rewatching the movie. And if you notice, two goldfish were harmed during the making of the movie.
So that's a shame.
Unfortunate, because the director says, like, he goes, we can't promise we didn't hurt any animals in the movie. And then there's a scene where they actually have, you know, rodents in mixing with blood when they cut open a zombie. So, but only two animals died, and those are the goldfish. So there was nothing. They didn't give any more information about the goldfish. But, you know, I don't know. PETA may be mad if they see this movie.
Well, I don't think we have to worry about that, because I don't think anybody's really seen this movie.
No. The most disturbing scene in the movie was when the blonde girl, I forget her name, but she's like brushing her teeth so hard that they start bleeding. And they did that in the movie Hannah. Cate Blanchett does the same thing. But that, like, when, like, that kind of stuff makes me uncomfortable no matter what kind of movie it's in. So
you do realize that this is the second time you brought up teeth.
Yeah. I don't know.
I can look forward to more podcasts about you talking about teeth.
I'll try to hold down the teeth talk. Maybe I need to go. Right. I'll bring it up with my therapist on Monday.
Sounds like a good idea.
So these two movies we didn't. You've seen them both on VHS, right?
Yes. Yeah. Video Dead definitely more. Uh-huh. More than Terrorvision. I believe I only saw Terrorvision maybe once.
Okay.
On VHS, and then like you, I think I revisited because I have a couple friends who live in Austin, Texas, who really like the film, and I watched it, I believe, on Netflix. And then when I did the heavy metal horror thing, I watched it then, and then I watched it again during the double feature release by Scream Factory. So I've seen Terrorvision probably more than enough, maybe not. I don't know. I might watch it again. Most of the film makes me uncomfortable because of the set decorations and everything. Not saying it's like weird, like I'm never going to watch a movie because of that, but it's just, it really does make you feel uncomfortable at times.
Yeah. Yeah. The Terrorvision set is crazy with all those paintings.
Yeah. The paintings, the same thing as by the pool and just on the walls. Just, it's just very bizarre looking. You know, in the film, you know, it is rated R, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just, and they could have went a lot further with it, and it seems like they're going to, because it is kind of sexual at times, but they just never went all the way.
Right.
And it was just, it just felt weird.
Yeah. So in watching, so you've seen this on VHS. So like, what did you think of the transfer? What were your initial thoughts of the transfer when you first popped in the Blu-ray?
Well, honestly, the Video Dead probably, or TerraVision, not so much, cause I can't really remember. Cause like I said, I was you know, young teens when I first saw it on VHS. So I don't think too much. I mean, just the sound alone, you know, when you put it in, and because there's like this theme song that plays throughout the movie,
right?
You know, when that comes on, like, you know, your speakers start thumping. It brought back some memories. The Video Dead though is the one that I saw constantly on VHS. I'm surprised it actually still works, but I would watch it a lot. So when that came out, now the transfer is not impeccable on the Video Dead. I mean, it's not one of the most glorious things that you'll ever see, but I mean, it's damn good. And it's definitely better than the VHS. I think that it's definitely a step up. I mean, anything that Scream Factory released, I don't think there's anything that's just subpar or mediocre. Right. They're going to definitely, whatever they're given the negative, they're given, they are going to work their ass off with what they have. And you got to think, you know, if the first Scream Factory release that you watch is going to be the Video Dead, you know, you got to give other things a chance is what I'd like to say.
Well, yeah.
But with what they had and what they worked with, they did a damn good job.
Well, I guess Video Dead was shot in 16 millimeter and then TerraVision was shot in 35 millimeter.
Yeah. So. I mean, you could totally tell too. Yeah. I mean, When you first, but that's another thing that I like about Scream Factory is that, especially with the release of The Fog, they make it look so good, but it looks so old at the same time. And, you know, just the little markings in the movie. And that's why I'm really excited to see Slumber Party Massacre, because Slumber Party Massacre is like that. I remember watching that on, I had the VHS, the DVD. And that film looks all scratched up. And I can't wait to see if it continues that, you know, if that was the negative that they received or how they came about that. Mm-hmm. But I just love how dirty the films look sometimes. I know that some people are like, what do you mean dirty? But any fans know that, you know, how a film looks, the graininess, I guess I should say, instead of dirty. But, you know, like, just the grain, and when the Video Dead starts and you just see like little fuzzies around, it just you know, it just, part of me was like, oh man, this is gonna be fucking great.
Yeah.
And it was. I mean, it is. Transfers are great on both of these.
It looks like they want to keep with the film stock quality.
Yeah, of course.
And have it be the best quality you can get, but they're not, I don't think Scream Factory and even Criterion, you know, companies like this, they're not trying to make the movie look new, brand new. That's not the goal.
Yeah, you know? that's what I like, because, you know, a lot of people say they polished it up and things like that. Well, I mean, there's a different sort of polish. I mean, what, you know, like an old piece of wood, or completely restore it, you know. Yeah. And it's, I don't want to see a bunch of stuff restored. I want to see a cleaned up version of the original.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they do, and that's why I'm thankful for something like this. This company, especially releasing titles like, you know, Video Dead, Ninja 3, Eve of Destruction, and other things that, especially Night of the Comet was a big one for me,
oh,
too.
Yeah.
That was a childhood, still is. I'm obsessed with Night of the Comet. But you know, just those films look—they're just incredible. They're just incredible, and you'll hear that probably 1,000 more times if you continue to listen to this podcast, that these transfers are incredible.
They're pretty great. And so I would definitely recommend this this release. I mean, I would say it's one of those things when you have some money and you want to spend it, you know, I kind of have like a top tier list of movies from them that I want to buy that I pretty much just pre-order right away. And then I would say this would be like maybe second tier, you know, if you're kind of doing the same thing that I'm doing, but it's definitely worth buying. And I think the thing that, and the reason why I got this, what this combo pack was, because I saw that they actually took the time to do special features on it.
That was a big selling point, I think.
Yeah. So if it was just a double feature, you know, bare bones, yeah, I'd still probably want to get it. But the fact that I added it, I think I pre-ordered this one, right away because I was like, oh man, they're actually are doing this double feature right. There's stuff. There's some stuff on here, and I think it was like what $18 or something like that.
Yeah, I think this one normally runs about $20, which I mean, basically you got to break it down as you're paying $10 for a Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Of you know some, I would still consider these films Terrorvision not as much as Video Dead, but both rare flicks.
Yeah.
That a lot of people haven't seen.
Yeah.
And neither of these things, aside from Screen Factory's DVD combo with the Blu-ray, neither of these films have made an appearance on a DVD release, unless it was maybe like a, you know, a horror collection or something. I know the Video Dead, there was kind of a DVD release floating out there, but it was a bootleg kind of like VHS transfer.
Yeah.
So anything, when you hear me say that, when I say it hasn't made it on DVD, I'm talking about like a legitimate DVD release.
Right. Because
there are countless bootlegs out there. So, you know, we're not going to be discussing those because watching the VHS is way better than popping in some DVD-R bull crap that's just, you know, obviously a transfer of VHS. That doesn't count.
Yeah.
Terrorvision might have been on a horror collection at some point, I want to say, but I don't remember it. So
yeah, I don't think it was. And actually, when listening to the commentary, they were actually watching a bootleg copy to record the commentary. And then actually near the end of it, the audio starts going out of sync at the end. They actually make a comment on that. So they didn't even have, you know, a DVD to watch doing the commentary for Scream Factory. They had to watch a bootleg. The director.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm pretty sure that both of these films is the first time. I know they're DVD combo, but it's just one of those things that skip right VHS to Blu-ray.
Yeah. Nice.
You know, there was no previous DVD release, and yeah. I love when that happens because Scream Factory has done that a few times.
Yeah. Well, Brad, I think that's going to do it for our first official episode of
You don't want to talk about teeth anymore?
I'm done talking about teeth. I think I'll make a note not to discuss anything related to dental hygiene on the next episode. In fact, I may not even brush my teeth. What do you think? There you go.
I think we're not going to record these like in a row, so you might want to brush your teeth. I'm just saying.
Okay. All right.
Unless we plan on doing the next one like right now, but I think you need to fix that.
Yeah, I need to. I need to regroup. But that's going to do it for this first episode. Brad, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at Twitter handle Brad F. Henderson if you want to, you know, cuss me out saying that, you know, I don't have a good radio voice or maybe I don't know my shit. You can. It's fine. But, I mean, we definitely want comments. Like I said, give us a break on this first one because, I mean, obviously it's our first, we're just kind of, you know, getting our bearings straight. You know, a lot of rambling and just kind of discussing on this one, but we promise that we're gonna try to bring you a very, very entertaining and good show once we get our feet on the ground here or off the ground. I don't know what something. The cliche term is, but it's something that we're gonna be walking around.
We'll do something.
But anyways, yeah, we're gonna do something.
Well, you know, I'm excited once we start really getting these interviews. I'm really excited for the interviews that we're trying to line up. So definitely keep that in the back of your mind, dear listener. But yeah, you can follow the show on Twitter. It's Scream_cast. Trying to keep in with Scream Factory. It's their Scream_factory. I don't know. So follow us there on Twitter. You can follow me. I am Sean C. DeRager on Twitter. Go to,
spell that last name for everybody.
I'm not going to spell it. It's in the show notes. It's in the show notes. It's on your podcast feed or whatever, on your listener thingy. But you can go to thescreamcast.com and all the relevant information will be there as well. So even our Facebook, like our Facebook page, yay. And then be our Twitter friends and all that good stuff. We need to discuss our next week's, or next time, next, we're trying to probably try to do these every 2 weeks, and we haven't decided what we're going to be covering next.
I think we should keep it a surprise.
I think so, but keep an eye out on the Twitters for hints regarding that. But that's going to do it for this first show. So I'm Sean DeRager.
I'm Brad Henderson.
And we're signing off. We'll talk to you guys next time.
Bye.
Oh, don't tell me you're leaving. The party's just begun.